There's another big story happening today as well, though, and that is about the position the state government has on Eraring, which Tony just mentioned. Now, this is Australia's largest coal-fired power station. The Energy Minister, Penny Sharp, will announce the response to the electricity supply and reliability checkup. Now, that'll happen at 11:45 this morning. The station was to close in 2025, and much of the reporting on this seems to indicate the government is prepared to extend that date. The former Treasurer Matt Keane has been talking about this week. He said he ruled out a three-year extension because it would cost the taxpayer too much money. We have invited Penny Sharp onto the show this morning and the former Treasurer Matt Keane, but I want to look at the reality of the situation around this, the money involved and what it costs to transition. Tim Buckley is Director of the think tank Climate Energy Finance and with us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Sarah.
What is the real cost here, Tim? Matt Keane has said it would cost billions. Others say $200 million. What do you think it'd be?
Well, we have published a major report 2 months ago saying New South Wales Lights will stay on. The cost of retaining Eraring for an additional 1 to 2 years would be, on our estimates, $200 to $400 million per year. Now, that is quite a large range. It's a lot lower than Matt Keane's number. Matt Keane's number was calculated, as I understand it, about 6 to 9 months ago when the thermal coal export price was upwards of $600 Australian. It's now $235 for export coal. And that highlights one of the many reasons why Origin Energy wants to close Eraring in August 2025. The answer being they do not have any coal supply locked in, no long-term coal supply agreement. When you're building and operating a coal plant, you know your operating costs. You've got to lock in your long-term supply of coal. Eraring does not have any long-term supply of coal locked in beyond August 2025, so therefore they will be paying export price parity. They have been paying export price parity for the last 3 years, and that is why they're the major beneficiary of Minister Bowen's coal cap, and that is the only reason Origin's not losing money with every unit of power it's producing today. We, the taxpayer, are already subsidising it because of the emergency intervention that Minister Bowen made last December.
Yes, and because they're privatised, we're the taxpayer are subsidising too. And that and we talked to Greg Piper, an independent, about this, and he said this has slowed down the transition to renewables. Do you agree?
Yes, and that is why I think the closure of Eraring in August 2025 or staggered over calendar 2025 is the logical strategic decision. We need to accelerate the deployment of replacement capacity, lower cost, zero emissions domestic replacement capacity. We can't continue with an old coal clunker that is extremely unreliable and going to get less reliable with every year. And we certainly can't afford to keep pushing subsidies into coal plants because they are enormous sources of carbon emissions. And when every time you extend a coal plant, you delay and defer expenditure on replacement capacity. So these subsidies would be crowding out the replacement capacity that would permanently solve the problem.
So what requires to be done? Penny Sharp said yesterday that this is like doing an industrial revolution in 15 years. If it's going to cost, you know, for 3 years, $1 billion, how much do we need to spend to urgently get renewables up and running before 2025? What would that cost?
Well, we have to replace an end-of-life plant. When it's end-of-life, it's not going to be generating electricity, irrespective of whether we invest, and I would use the word invest, in replacement capacity. We have to invest in replacement capacity. It's not a cost, it's an investment. You invest in energy security, you invest in the energy supply. So we need to do it. It's just a question of whether we invest now or whether we wait, subsidise coal and then invest later. I would much rather Minister Sharp be decisive and act on the three crises smashing people in New South Wales, people in Australia right now. We have a cost of living crisis, we have a climate crisis, and we have an energy crisis. all of them stem back to one factor, fossil fuels. So I think Minister Sharp needs to deploy the state balance sheet and the state priorities and policies into developing solutions at speed and scale. Right. They are there.
But what would that bottom line cost? Like if we're just looking at the numbers compared to if we have to accelerate this investment into renewables really quickly, get major large-scale batteries built. I know they are building one at the site now. They've started building a 500 megawatt battery. But how much would it cost to do that faster and quicker before 2025 when the power station's due to close?
I don't know that it's actually going to cost us anything more to do it faster rather than slower. What we do know is the cost of not doing it will cost all of New South Wales and Australian citizens from in the form of higher prices and higher carbon emissions. So we will have to invest tens, if not $100 billion in rebuilding the entire Australian energy system over the next 10, 20 years. That is inevitable. We have to reinvest. And I think it can be done at very, very low cost to New South Wales taxpayers. What I'd be calling for is policies that accelerate private investors deploying rooftop solar and batteries. So that can be done through the SRES. We can see rooftop solar installed in days, weeks, months, not years.
Yes, but that just gives us the daytime. So what about the batteries? And what's SRES that you mentioned?
SRES is the state's, the federal government's renewable energy target mechanism. So it's a short-run, small-scale renewable energy scheme, and it's an incentive to deploy rooftop solar. It's been running for a decade, and we need to see that. At the moment, it's got a cap that if you apply for the SRES, you can only put in 100 kilowatts of solar. Our number one recommendation will be lift that cap to, say, 500 or 1,000 kilowatts so that every industrial and commercial building in New South Wales is covered in rooftop solar. You say it's only during the day, but that's where I think the coal Luddites have been really effective in lobbying. We know batteries exist. Like the Financial Times just this week ran a massive story about how China is building so much new global manufacturing capacity in batteries. We are going to be flooded with batteries. The price is going to drop like it has in solar, 90% in a decade. And therefore, time shifting solar for when it's literally free in the middle of the day, virtually free into the evening peak. We are seeing an entire industrial revolution of the energy markets. We need to use software, artificial intelligence, and good market design for the current century, not relying on regulatory policies designed 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. They're not in sync with the technology that's available today.
Right. So you'd agree with the Greens that the government shouldn't extend Eraring, that we can do a fast and furious transition towards renewables before 2025. We've just got to do the investment and hurry up along the way.
Correct. The best time to have started would have been a decade ago, but we had a federal government that refused to act and accept on the climate science. So the best time to act other than a decade ago is today. We need decisive action from Minister Sharp and Premier Minns.
Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
There's Tim Buckley, an energy finance analyst and director of independent think tank Climate Energy Finance.